If you have your Bible with you this morning, Matthew chapter 5. Continuing on with the subject of holiness. Holiness, the ideal of Christian character, is where we've been the last couple of times that we've looked at this. Of course, last Sunday morning, we took a break because of Mother's Day and focusing on moms. And thankful for our godly mothers. Thankful for mom, whether they're godly or not, but we want to focus and recognize the godly mothers for certain. And appreciate those that are right here. This morning, we're coming back to this, the holiness, the ideal of Christian character, Matthew chapter 5. Would you bow your head with me as I seek the Lord's help and anointing right now? Our Father, we're thankful this morning for your presence. Thank you for the songs congregationally that we've been able to sing and rejoice in, that has stirred our hearts and reminded us of your grace and of your blessings, the song that Deborah sang, the reality. We could very well be lost eternally today if it wasn't for your hand of grace that saved us. Sometimes at an early age, you've saved us. Thank you, Father. As we come to this point of the service, of we opening up your word, we're reminded and made aware that the enemy, your enemy, who withstands everything that he can of efforts of godliness and of holiness, everything that he can that you, God, our Father, would want. And while he withstands you, we also realize that in our lives we face that enemy as well. Even in preparation for this time. But I pray, Lord, that according to your word, you would provide anointing and strength to proclaim the word of God without fear. It's for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Holiness, the ideal of Christian character, and I've said before, quoting Chester Layman, that the Sermon on the Mount is in truth the very constitution of Christ's kingdom. The constitution of Christ's kingdom. We looked at it earlier. We looked at a sense of need, being poor in spirit. We looked at spiritual sensitivity, they that mourn. We looked at spiritual perspective, the meek. Spiritual appetite, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We looked at compassion. We looked at a cleared vision. continue this morning, holiness, the ideal of Christian character, and we come down to verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We find benevolent arbitration. I don't know what you think of when that verse is read or when you read that verse. Blessed are the peacemakers. But we find here the reality of that verse could be somewhat summed up in this particular statement, that the Christian personality should be like healing oil in the body of mankind. The Christian personality should be like healing oil in the body of mankind. As a matter of fact, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, one of the New Testament writers said it this way in the book of Hebrews: follow peace, pursue peace, endeavor to have peace with all men, with all people. Now, when we look at the natural state of man, the natural fallen state of man, the fallen state of man is and consists of warfare, struggles, battles, conflict. There's things that are always going on within the natural realm of humanity. But the Christian personality should be like healing oil. Healing oil in the body of mankind. Some of you know about the wellness stuff, you know, Melaleuca. There's a balm, there's a salve, there's an oil in that family of medicines that I've heard people say that if you put that on a burn, that it will not blister, it will not scar. I've used it before. I still have scars. I'm not real sure if I was using it improperly or not. If Earl Newton were still alive and was here this morning, he would vouch for it that he could put it on a burn and it would not scar. I got a pretty nice little abrasion on my arm this week, and I thought, well, maybe I need to put some of that salve on my arm, and maybe it'll make it feel better. I'm going on about Melaleuca oil here, you know. Because I want us to think about all these medicines perhaps that you use to heal things and to take care of damage that is done to the physical. But I also want us to translate that over to the spiritual, when we must realize that the Christian personality should be like healing oil. Blessed are the peacemakers. D.R. Davies said that there's a, in secular illusion or Christian realism, he said, in a little more than 6,000 years of recorded history, there has not been a single year in which the whole world was at peace. There has not been a single year. You see, peace is not natural in the fallen world. Peace is not common in a fallen environment. Therefore, it's easy for us to understand, and we must understand, that if there is to be peace, if peace is to be found, it has to come from another source. That other source is the result of God's grace. God's grace. Maybe you think that I've added too many words there. Maybe I should have stopped with just simply the source is God. But you see, it has to be His grace working in our lives for peace to be found. again refer to Donald Metz. He said the blessed men that Christ referred to are not those who purchase peace at any price. Are not those who purchase peace at any price. You know, I cut into his statement because I want us to stop and focus a little bit on the reality of that statement, because it's easy for you and for me to lose sight of real peace and sacrifice something for a false peace. Or think that because of my circumstances as a victim in some situation that I surrender everything to have peace. You know, humanity again. Humanity, it's easy for us to find in our particular circumstances that we look at it as I am the victim here. I'm the one that's being torn apart here. And quite often what I find in this victim thing is that the victim has made some choices that have caused the consequences, that have created the victim's position. We have to separate a lot of that stuff. But when the scripture is talking about being a peacemaker, we cannot purchase peace at any price. Donald Metz goes on to say, but those who actively and courageously reconcile and enlarge the area of human goodwill, By so doing, they indicate their moral relationship to the God of peace. A moral relationship to the God of peace. He said that holiness is the key to peace. Holiness is the key to peacemaking. For in holiness, the seeds of rebellion and corruption are removed to be replaced by love and mercy. Keeping in mind here what Jesus had to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And another statement, continuing statement by Metz, the only enduring peace is the peace built upon holiness. The only enduring peace is the peace built upon holiness. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Christian personality should be like healing oil in the body of mankind. Let's move on to the next one in verse number 10. Leaving, but not forgetting benevolent arbitration, but leaving that to go on to holy courage. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's some people that have courage all around us. You and I know people that have had courage. There's people that have had physical courage and physical bravery, physical things that have taken place. They've expressed courage and they've expressed bravery in the midst of physical things. We've heard and we know of people that have had courage in social concerns. People that have suffered because of courage in social concerns, whether it's abortion or euthanasia or some other social concern. There's bravery that have taken place. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing here for this, I was thinking of the incident of Terri Schiavo. Maybe some of you remember that from way back, years and years ago. I think that she had that heart attack in 1990 and it began to progress. And while it wasn't necessarily her that gave any kind of courage in the midst of that scenario, there were people that had some tremendous courage in the midst of that social concern. Now, I'm not going to say that it produced everything that needed to be produced in the way of good as an outcome. But I can't help but think that there was some good things brought about because of that courage. But he's not talking. Jesus isn't talking about physical bravery or even social concerns, talking about courage, but he's talking about a spiritual, a greater situation. The courage, hear it, it's connected. The courage of the pure in heart. So what? Well, you see, Jesus has been talking here in this passage, in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount as we know it. He's been talking about acceptable behavior in the kingdom. This is the pattern. This is the foundation. This is the character of Christianity. And he's talking about behavior in the kingdom. But now, in this passage, in this verse, he tells of the reception that that type of behavior will meet in the world. Did you catch that? Blessed are all these people. Blessed are the pure in spirit, or the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, all these things are blessings. But then he turns the table a little bit and he warns, or he gives the reality that there's still a blessing that is to come because of the consequence of this lifestyle that he's laying out as the Christian should be, is going to face, yes, that's what he said, will face persecution. I don't think you're in line for persecution like I'm not in line for persecution, but he tells us that this type of behavior of the Christian character of holiness will meet persecution. Well, that's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? How do you survive persecution? Well, I believe that it's safe to say that the citizen of his kingdom is listening to the beat of a different drummer than what the world listens to. Should I pause right here and ask the question, what drummer are you listening to? What genre of music are you listening to? Oh, I'm not talking about all the different that's around us. I'm talking about listening to the music of the world, or the drummer of the world, or the drummer of heaven. Because you see, it changes the perspective on what and how we live. Jesus is saying here that when you live according to his purpose and you live according to his constitution, that you will be met with an indifference or even with an antagonism. There will be an antagonism against, an antagonistic culture, an antagonistic person, perhaps. You see, holiness is not acceptable in a depraved race. Holiness is not acceptable in a depraved race. Holiness stands to rebuke as a rebuke to sin. Sometimes we don't just and only fight against the battle spiritually on the spiritual level, but sometimes Christians have had to stand against the battle on a physical level, on a physical front. I'm not sure, it seems like I've shared this before, but years ago, Sunday morning had gone well. The Sunday morning service was over. People had gone home, and as I got home to the house next door to the church, in one of the churches that I pastored, I got a phone call from somebody, one of the members of the church, and said, "Are you listening to the radio?" You see, there was a Christian radio broadcasting, you know, that a lot of our church people listened to, and if you weren't a part of that particular church that I pastored, you wouldn't know anything about that. But he said, "You need to turn your radio on, because the preacher, it seems, that is preaching on that radio station right now is preaching about you, me." So I turned the radio on. It didn't take long. It was probably already set on that station because we listened to it. We found entertainment in it at times. There was also some good music that they played. And sure enough, I turned it on, and he was still just belittling me and berating me and just going on and on about the preacher in the Holiness Church across the river. Well, some time went by, and I ran into him. I think it was at a Golden Corral. He was a Baptist. Sorry about y'all, some of you that have Baptist backgrounds. Your Baptist background is not the same as this Baptist preacher, I know. Okay? Ran into him. I think it was at a Cracker Barrel. And I walked over to him. I went across the way just simply to shake his hand and to speak to him. And he made the comment as we chatted there a little bit. He said, "Well, I'm just surprised that you came over to talk to me." I said, "Well, why?" "Well, you know, we have our differences." I said, I just kind of leaned down to him and I said, "Well, that's what holiness will do for you." Does holiness work that way? Well, it should, because that's what Jesus is talking about. It should. Holiness stands as a rebuke to sin. But then when you consider again, when you look a little deeper into the Beatitudes and you look deeper into this particular one, you see that Jesus himself lived out the Beatitudes to the point of perfection, did he not? He lived out the Beatitudes to the point of perfection, and the response of sinful society could be summed up in the chant near the end of his life, "Crucify him." Are you following that thinking? Lived it out to the point of perfection, but the response to his life in sinful society was the chant, "Crucify him." The Apostle Paul, willing to be spent for the gospel, willing to be spent for the cause of the kingdom, willing to be spent for the holiness message. What was his end? The blade of the executioner. Now, Paul's summary, the summary that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, the reception of holiness in an ungodly world is very simple. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Shall suffer persecution. But I don't live in a Far East country. I don't live in a communist state or a communist country. I don't live in a place. You see, it's not just simply in those far distant places. It's simply holiness confronting sin. Jesus said we will suffer some kind of persecution. Paul said it to me. Jesus tells us that as well. Now, the Amplified changes a little bit there. I like the change in the positioning of some of these words. "Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution. will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. What is your religious stand? Your religious stand. Let me explain that a little bit. Living within the ideal of Christian character, conducting oneself by the code of Christ's constitution. Religious stand. Now, Peter chimes in on it as well in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have, do you know that verse well enough to finish it? After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Blessed. Are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Jesus did not say that suffering for the sake of suffering was a blessed experience. Did you hear that? Jesus did not say that suffering for the sake of suffering was a blessed experience, but he did mean that persecution comes because of holy living, and when it comes, a Christian has the opportunity to display holy courage, has the opportunity. Are you standing in line for persecution yet? I'm still not quite there. But if and when it comes, which Jesus said, the likelihood's pretty high, shall suffer. In that moment and in that time, his grace can shine through, his strength can shine through, his stability can be there to shine through. An opportunity to display holy courage. Then, with that holy courage, a new note is sounded. A new note is, what's that new note? It's the note of joy. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted. Blessed are they that are persecuted. The Amplified, I believe it is. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that translation of blessed is simply happy and well off. Happy and well off when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now that is a strange thing, but isn't the kingdom of God strange in comparison to the kingdom of this earth and this world? If you lose your life, you'll find it. Love your enemies rather than hate your enemies. Over and over again, Jesus talked in reverse from the culture, in reverse from society. And we find it here as well, that there is a blessed experience, a joyous experience, when a person is surrendered to persecution for righteousness' sake. The ideal character in the kingdom is possible only in the experience of holiness. Let me summarize it, conclude it this morning with these words from Donald Metz. Holy character must step into the arena of life with supreme confidence in the power and grace of Christ to meet the issues head on and to demonstrate the nature of acceptable conduct in the kingdom. Holiness is best demonstrated in man's day-by-day activities, attitudes, and decisions. Holiness is best demonstrated in man's day-by-day activities, attitudes, and decisions. Now, we're talking about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. We're talking about the culture of the Christian or the constitution of the kingdom. And so we find it from the natural standpoint that it is difficult, it is nearly impossible, and perhaps we even think in our humanity that it is impossible to be able to attain, to reach, to have these things active in our lives. But we are made aware again by the Holy Spirit's anointing to a writer in the New Testament where he penned these words, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." That's a real promise. He's not just calling, tantalizing, tormenting. No, he's calling and he's promised the fulfillment of the reality within our lives. He, in other words, he provides what is needed, what is necessary to have it active. The constitution of the kingdom of heaven can be active in our lives. Holiness. Holiness, the ideal of Christian character. Reread those Beatitudes on a regular basis. Reread them because they are the constitution of the kingdom. Would you stand with me this morning? May God help us to have the healing oil of God's holiness in our lives. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, I could preach it all over again, almost. May it be real. God, help it to be real in our lives. Warren, would you dismiss us in prayer?